pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We'll be introducing our phone guests in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take care of him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the wonderful and powerful gift your word is to us. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful and the powerful story of a young wife and mom by the name of Hannah. And thank you for the many, many life lessons you teach us through that powerful story and chapter. Father, with every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of the vital place prayer is to play in the life of every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, anoint us afresh today with the spirit of prayer. Help us to learn much. Help us to grow much. And help us more and more to put into practice the truths we learn in our lives, that more and more we would be believers that travel every day in prayer. We thank you And we do praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We'd like to remind you to get connected with us on the internet. We invite you to please like our Facebook page, the Hour of Intercession page. And also, you can follow us here at Urban Family on Twitter. And you can join the Urban Family Talk family along coming on our website. Take a look at our email list there on the website. You can also find the latest poll questions. You find some interesting and encouraging news articles and some action alerts that can help you get involved with being salt and light into the world. Also, check out some of the blogs there. Again, visit us at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. And we'd like to remind you once again of the campaign we're inviting you to be a part of entitled Open the Floodgates. We're providing Bibles for the continent of Africa. And the campaign is an ongoing one. We'd like to encourage you to help us to open the floodgates and pour the Word of God into the continent, onto the continent of Africa in much greater measure. We here at the American Family Association are partnering with the Bible League International to share the gift of the Word of God, the printed Word of God. Only 1 in 10 believers on the continent have his or her own copy of the Word of God, and 50 million Christians in Africa lack their own Bible. So you can be a part of helping to put Bibles in the hands of believers who desperately long to have their own copy. For a gift of $5, that you can give that gift. And also keep in mind, our goal is to provide 15,000 Bibles for this outreach. So you can simply call this number, 1-800-YES-WORD. Again, that's 1-800-YES-WORD. If you'd like to call in and pledge to help us to provide that number of Bibles. Also, you can give online by visiting afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. $25 provides 5 Bibles, $50 provides 10, and $100 provides 20 Bibles. Join the Bible League International along with AFA, and let's help get large numbers of copies more and more into the hands of believers all over the wonderful continent of Africa. We're grateful today to have as our guest a young lady who we had on briefly a few weeks ago along with her mom, but we're grateful to have her to come back on and share more about the great ministry they're part of. Hannah Bram is our guest today, and she's a part of the ministry of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Hannah, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on today. And as we start off, I'm going to ask first of all, I want to mention this, that, you know, of course, I read your chapter there. You know, interesting thing about the chapter. I remember your mom, and of course, this may have to be for another program, but she mentioned she had an interesting story as to why she even named you Hannah as well. And now you might have a little more insight than I do here, but basically the name Hannah means favor and grace, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay then. So you apparently have a lot of favor and grace on your life amongst other blessings that God has bestowed upon you then too. So tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and what the Ministry of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks is about and what it does.
Okay, yes, I am the granddaughter of Billy Brim, and she is a minister, and we have Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri, and it's a place that's been dedicated for prayer. People come from all over the world to visit, and also online streaming, they have prayer once a week that people join on online and pray and just connect in prayer. And so I help my grandmother and serve her, and I also help in the prayer there. So mm-hmm. It's an honor, and kind of been raised in it since I was born. Okay. In this kind of environment in prayer, and mm-hmm. Just kind of have been raised to be around it, brought up in it.
Okay.
So it's been an honor.
What can you tell me, why would you say it was Prayer Mountain, specifically there in the Branson, Missouri community, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So why Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks rather than maybe Prayer Island in the Atlantic or Prayer Valley somewhere? What was it about the mountain in Branson, Missouri that made your grandma? Do you know the story as to why she selected that particular location
yes,
for the ministry?
It's in the book. She has a book called The Road to Prayer Mountain.
Okay.
And
okay.
more of it in detail in there. But basically, the Lord had put it in her heart. She was working for a man named Brother Hagin in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought maybe it would be in Oklahoma where the Lord would want her to start this her ministry and to start prayer. And the Lord specifically put it on her heart to go to Branson.
Okay.
And that Branson was the place that the Ozarks was where she was to start her ministry in the prayer.
Okay, then. That's neat. And what is your responsibility as a part of the staff of the Ministry of Prayer Mountain?
I travel. I'm my grandmother's assistant. I play many different roles, you know, and I travel and help her, and then I also help with the prayer at the ministry. And they have prayer corporately there once a week, and so sometimes I will help to lead that and just whatever else is needed, but mainly I travel with my grandmother and help her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said people come from all over the world to come to be a part of this ministry and to specifically to pray and to be a part of prayer events there at Prayer Mountain.
Yes. Even though it's kind of in the country, people will drive and find it. She kind of likes that it's out. That's why it's in the Ozarks. It's out in the woods, so to speak, so that we can pray and be led. And it's amazing to see people who come from all over the United States, all over the world, to drive to be there at the ministry and to be a part of the prayer meetings that are taking place.
Hmm. Okay. You know, Hannah, something I think of as it relates to just the topic of prayer is that prayer is one of those topics that believers all over the world and in pretty much every culture recognize that prayer is important. But the fact is there are a lot of believers that really don't seem to know a whole lot about praying and don't know a whole lot about praying effectively. And so this really is one of those topics that there's a huge need for it to be addressed more in the body of Christ. And so would you, as we start off our time today, I want to ask, how would you say that serving your grandmother and working there at Prayer Mountain has impacted your life and specifically your prayer life as an individual believer?
Yes, it's helped me to see prayer as just like Jesus in Philippians 2, how he's a servant and how he came to this world. He left everything he had, his reputation, everything that he was made, and he became like a man and he served, and he had to learn to who he was in Christ and who God has called him to be, his purpose. And I just know, just being with my grandmother, and I actually call her Mimi. I don't call her grandmother, but just being with her, it's just been very humbling, and it's helped in the prayer to realize that it's just not a false humility, but just the dependency on God, you know. Just for an example, if she asked me to do something or just knowing in my heart ahead of time, like, to depend on the Holy Spirit to help me remember what I needed to remember to help her and to serve her.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're traveling, and naturally in the flesh, it's not always easy, but it's helped me to grow more of a dependency on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Okay, we're coming up on a break now. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Hannah Brim of the Ministry of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We'll be right back after this break.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members. so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable health care without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
We recently celebrated my pastor's 13th pastoral anniversary. It was a celebration indeed. The guest pastor preached a message that really made me think about something. What happens when you have not done what God has instructed you to do and you feel as though you've failed God? Most often, after repentance, we come back to God, but the despair of disappointing God still lingers. We quickly tuck it away and we dare not let anyone know that we are wrestling with the residuals of being disobedient. This is a dangerous place for a believer to be. Not only are you wallowing in a place of self-pity, but you're teetering with the idea that God is not a man of his word or that he has forgotten his promises for you. Understand this, there is not a single event in the world of which God is not aware. That includes you missing the mark. Take comfort in this and let yourself off the hook. God's eyes are always on you and he will never change his mind about you. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. With the upcoming elections is an opportunity to change the direction of our nation for the better or the worse, to change the very future that our children will face. In previous generations, it was this concern for our children which often guided our vote. In a sermon before the Connecticut legislature in 1803, the Reverend Matthias Burnett reminded us, "To you voters, in whose power it is to save or destroy your country, consider well the important trust which God has put into your hands. To God and posterity, you're accountable for them. Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating those institutions which your fathers delivered to you. In this year's elections, for the sake of our children and the type of country that we will leave them, vote, and vote wisely."
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Of Covenant Church, the song My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Hannah Brim of the ministry Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And just before Hannah comes back, let me remind our listeners once again, there are certain items that we like to send by way of email to persons that are wanting to get hold of tools that will help and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. For example, one sheet is entitled Daily Prayer Tools, and we'll be glad to send it to you. It includes the prayer Jabez, praying the Ten Commandments, and a few other biblically based prayers that come straight from Scripture or based on Scripture. Well, again, we'll be glad to send it to you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get that, we'd be glad to send it to you. And again, the goal is to help and encourage you to kind of jumpstart your prayer life with tools like that. Also, another prayer book that we didn't put together, but it's a great tool. It's called prayinginvictory.com, or at least you can go to that website, prayinginvictory.com, and download it. It has about 9 prayers that deal with issues such as praying for the government, praying for pastors, praying for nations, praying for Jerusalem. And so just different topics that are important kingdom topics for us as the body of Christ to be praying for. So again, go to prayinginvictory.com and download that prayer book by that title, Praying in Victory. But please do take the advantage of getting tools that will help you pray more effectively and pray according to God's word like that as well. As well as when Hannah comes back in just a moment, she's going to tell you their website and how you can get in touch and learn more about their ministry as well. Hannah, would you, in fact, go ahead and share with our listeners if they wanted to be in touch with you or the Ministry of Prayer Mountain, how would they connect with you?
Yes, definitely. If you want to get connected with the Ministry of Prayer Mountain, you go to billybrim.org, and that's Billy spelled BILLYEBRIM.org. And there's a place that you can contact, email. They have a number that you can call the ministry. And for me, I have a blog website. It's hannahsprayers.com, all lowercase, H-A-N-N-A-H, prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S.com. And there's a place that you can contact me on the website there.
Okay. Okay, then. Thank you, then. And we'll repeat that before the broadcast is over again for every listener that wants to be in touch with Hannah or the Ministry of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Now, Hannah, how old were you when you came to know the Lord yourself?
Well, that's a great question. I was probably four in Sunday school class.
Okay, so that's, you were four when you first received Christ, that's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, okay then. And so do you feel like you started growing immediately in your walk with the Lord, even as a small child, or was it maybe a little later on in your youth, or at what point do you remember really growing significantly in your faith?
Yes, I remember when my parents had divorced when I was about 2 years old, and it didn't really bother me until, affect me. I have a big family, and we have uncles, aunts, and all that. And so we're very close, and so it didn't really affect me until I went to school, elementary school, and I was about first grade. And I remember all the kids after school in the class, that all the kids would get picked up by their parents, and their mom and their dad would be there. And I remember thinking, you know, I saw, that's when it really hit me as a six-year-old, that I didn't have my dad there, you know, and... So I went home, and I remember before I'd go to sleep, I'd talk to the Lord on my bed, and I'd tell him everything about my day, what I did, what I ate, what happened at school. And I remember telling him, this thought just came up in me as a child, and I knew it was the Lord. Now I know it was the Lord, but it just came up in my heart, and it was, why don't you just ask God to be your father? And even though he can't be there all the time naturally, you know, physically and always hugging you and all that, but by the Holy Spirit that he's there and comfort and to fill that void in my heart. And so I had asked the Lord, I said, you know, won't you be my father? And immediately when I'd asked him that, I just sensed the supernatural peace in my heart. And I mean, of course, I had trials and things growing up, but there was just something about that knowing God as my father that really secured my walk with him and help me.
That's good. That's good. I appreciate you sharing that, Hannah. Would you take a moment now to pray for other young people that may be children or youth that have been down a similar road who, for whatever reason, don't have the dad in their life, maybe not the dad or their mom, some that may have, for whatever reason, lost both parents tragically, but recognize a need for that void to be filled in their lives. Would you pray for those individuals at this time, please?
Yes, I'd love to. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. I say to you, Lord, that regardless of where they're listening from, Father, that your voice just penetrates towards their heart, and I just thank you that you'll become so personal to them, Lord, whatever the loss, whatever the situation. I might not know, but God, you know about it. And I just thank you right now for just the peace over their heart, the peace over their life, God, that they won't just see you as a God about in church, but God, that you'll be their father, Lord. You'll be more personal to them. You care about everything that's going on in their life, about every detail, about every situation, about every decision that they are going through and that they need to make. And I just thank you right now, God, that your peace, just that void that they might have felt, God, that you're,
you,
I'm asking for my heart to just be so personal to them. And as a parent, Lord, because you care more for them than ever anybody could ever care for them. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And now, Hannah, also too, like you, and of course you're a young adult. May I ask your age?
I'm 25.
25, okay. Very young lady then. So, well, you can identify with lots of other young adults in our culture, as well as young people, even a little younger than you also could probably identify with you as well. You know, in so many ways, we live in a culture that there are challenges and difficulties that many other generations didn't face nearly as intensely as this generation is facing. What would you say to young people, to young adults and young people younger than you as well? What words of wisdom would you want to share with them about the need to really get serious about their walk with God?
Yes, I just believe personally that Jesus is coming back soon. And I know people have said that for a long time, but I really believe that the darkness is getting darker. And I was just in a city last week, and I just saw so much was happening, and people are needing help. People need Jesus. And they're turning for other ways, you know, to find it, but they're really searching for God. Mm-hmm. And I just see this young generation that there's so much, more than I could say in words, but like you said, there's so much happening that they're coming against things that we, even me in high school, that I never had to come against what's been happening the last year. And I just see that there's no more time to be in the middle line, you know, just being neutral. It's either you're either sold out or you're not. That invisible line, so to speak, as far as being neutral or playing on the fence a little bit, to me, that's being taken away. People are wanting to know where you stand, and I just truly believe that young people, it's important that they become serious in their walk with the Lord, because I don't believe there's truly a lot of time left. Mm-hmm. And so for them to develop and not wait until they're a certain age to follow God, but to start where they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I think of this too, that there are lots of young adults, for example, that are on college campuses, and of course, young people, even younger, high school, middle school. There's so many things that are going on school campuses these days, so much that represents darkness and things that work against children and young people. There's a great need for more intercession, more prayer to be had on behalf of schools and young people in the midst of schools, and whether it's a college or university campuses or high school campuses. Again, there's a great need for believers to really pray more for God's influence and God's grace to be at work in those places. Would you just maybe any thoughts you have about that? And then afterwards, we'd like to take a moment to pray for schools as well.
Yes. I recently just visited a campus in Missouri, and it was just a lot. It was like of all the places that college was facing the most, not persecution, but the kids there, the Christians, were being the ones that, of the whole city, that the college was the main point of the Christian kids, what they were going through. And I just think it's important that you can't go in there being weak, not knowing your faith and not being weak in your faith, especially when you go into a college, because it's just, to me, the colleges are the ones that are getting the most pressured with what's happening, the issues that are happening in the government and the issues that are happening as far as marriage and children, and they're just getting faced with a lot of spiritual darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important that this generation, the young kids, young adults, are strong in what they believe, or they'll get swayed if not. They need to be strong in their faith and their relationship with God, mm-hmm. to be a light and to shine bright, you know, in those dark places.
That's right.
On the campuses, and to stand up, to be bold and stand up for what they believe and what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think it's very important.
That's right. That's right. Would you pray for schools, for school campuses, colleges, high schools, and schools, period, please?
Yes. Father, we just thank you. I thank you for the schools, Lord, that I just truly believe, even as a young adult, Lord, that they're the ones that are getting the most pressured as far
thank
as
you,
what you know, God, what's happening and the things that are being taught in the classrooms from the books and things, Lord, of twisted deception. And I just thank you, God, for every believer and that they'll be sure that there's a new strength
thank you,
to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. As your word says, Lord, in Ephesians, that they'll be strong in you. They'll be strong to stand up with boldness. Lord, I ask for a new courage, a fresh courage, that they'll speak boldly, that you'll give them the word, just like the disciples in the book of Acts, Lord, that you gave them the courage to stand up and the boldness to speak your words. And Lord, that they'll have those words when they go into the classrooms, when they go into the hallways of their schools, of their communities, Lord, to be strong in you, God. And I just thank you for protection over the schools, over the high schools, in the name of Jesus, over the classrooms. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the blood of Jesus.
Thank you,
over
Jesus,
every person, every Christian, God, that they'll be so on fire for you, Lord, that they'll touch the other classmates, that there'll be something about them that they'll see, that there's something different that they'll need, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I do thank you. Thank you for the opportunity for us to lift up the schools and to pray, just as Hannah did. Pray for school campuses and places where so many young people's lives are touched and affected in so, so many ways. Thank you, Father, for all of our college and university campuses. Thank you for our high school and middle school campuses as well. And Lord, even for the elementary age campuses as well. We thank and praise you for them all, Lord. Father, send forth many more laborers onto all these campuses, Lord. Send them in the form of students who are bold and committed to standing up for their faith and speaking out and being a vessel you can use. Send them in the form of teachers and instructors who know how to shine for Jesus, even in the midst of a difficult and sometimes a hostile environment. And send forth ministries that specifically go onto these campuses to do the work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, Lord, I pray that you just permeate the atmospheres of these schools with the presence of your Holy Spirit and do a mighty, 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 mighty work more and more on all of these campuses, whereby your Spirit and your grace and your word can go forth in power, anointing, and your Holy Spirit. We do thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, and I think of this, that as it relates to the passage we read earlier, which, of course, occurs the Bible character of your same name, Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, I think of this, that that's a powerful story there, but it's a great example of some of the truths that God wants us to learn. Just like Hannah, she apparently over a period of years was grieved over not having a child, but one year she finally decided to go to God and to seriously pray for him, pray in prayer, for what was on the desire, what the desire was on her heart. And God answered her. And one of many vital lessons from that passage is there are many times in which God will put a dream on our hearts, and it's not until we pray those dreams forward that they're birthed and they come to pass. And so part of the message is if we don't pray, many times we just aren't going to get the desires on our heart. And I tell you what, we're coming up on a break. I'm going to ask if you'll comment on that on the other side of the break. But, you know, the lessons that we learn from prayer are so many. And for many believers, if they recognize how much God will do in us and through us when we take prayer seriously, it would motivate them to take prayer so much more seriously than they do. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest is Hannah Brim of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We'll be right back after this break.
Karen, a wife, a mother, a business owner. Needless to say, I'm very busy. Sometimes I scarcely get everything done. That's why I love the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. He reminds me to stop and take time to pray and read God's Word. His encouragement is great. I carry it with me everywhere I go.
The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. Weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Will Addison, Director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Satan's destiny is to wind up thrown into the lake of fire. So what earned him such a horrible fate? Dr. Tony Evans says it's the same mistake many of us make in our own way as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
God created him perfectly, no spot, no wrinkle, no flaws. Satan looked into the mirror and said, "You bad boy. If I've got all this wisdom and all of this glory and all of this beauty and all of this power and all of this grandioseness, I can make it on my own." In other words, God had made him so pretty, he didn't need God anymore. Are there any little Lucifers in the house? Are there any folks in the house? God has made you so pretty, has blessed you so much that you don't need God anymore. You can make it on your own. That's why the Bible says people who think like that are children of the devil. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, if you've made a little money in your lifetime and you're a little bit successful and you have a nice house and nice cars, he says, be careful lest when the Lord has blessed you, you forget the Lord your God, for it is the Lord that hath given you power to make this wealth. And that's why the greatest sin listed in all of the Bible is pride. To think you are who you are and where you are because of yourself. That is the thinking of a devil.
Get the big picture of the battle going on behind the scenes of your life. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare, and pray about passing these important concepts on to the people in your church or study group. We have prepackaged Bible studies, study guides, everything you need. Visit us at tonyevans.org for details. That's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Hannah Brim of the Ministry Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And Hannah was just speaking about, specifically about the story, the powerful story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and many life lessons in that short but powerful chapter, especially chapter 1, but chapters 1 and 2 as well. But one, of course, is that many times God will put a desire on our heart, and through prayer that desire is birthed into manifestation in our lives, And at the same time, if we don't pray, there are many blessings that we'll never get because God says, ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. It also tells us in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. So again, prayer is critical for many times both us receiving many of the desires of our heart and for God's work to get done too. But any thoughts or insights that come to your mind as it relates to the story of Hannah?
Yes, just the prayer, what you were talking about, God's desires. And, you know, I personally, for myself, just in prayer, the Lord's helping me, you know, we had talked earlier, we don't know everything, so it's just important to always be, like you had said, like a child, and God works on us all, and to trust Him.
That's right.
And we may think something may be some way, but it's not the way the Lord had it, you know, and just to trust Him and what He wants us, the things that He's put in our heart, and that it matches with the Word of God. And I always am a strong believer in the Word and prayer together, that they operate together, and the Scriptures of the Word, and working together with the Scriptures and praying them out, and those desires that God puts on our heart, and just trusting Him how He wants it to be. And I know for myself, the Lord, you know, He puts a desire on my heart, and I get so excited about it. And I was like, okay, you know, just trust God here, because it may be something totally different than what I may have interpreted it to be, but trusting the Lord that His purpose and His plan are accomplished together with the Word of God, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
What He wants.
Okay. You know, I think of this too, that in relation to what you just shared too, we live in a day and time in which this is true for young people especially, but it's true for people as a whole too, that we live in a world where, especially when you think of young teenagers, young adults as well too, many times they're struggling with setting goals in their lives, dealing with all sorts of temptations and pressures, and then there are all kinds of relationship issues that young people struggle with. And of course, the fact is many times these struggles go right on into young adulthood and adulthood period for some people, but they often will start in childhood and then in middle school, high school as well too. What would you say in the way of encouragement or counsel to young people that say that their lives are so full of so many problems, so many troubles that they just don't see where God could make a difference one way or another? What would you say to that young individual that might say that to you?
Well, first of all, this is what I believe. It starts with them. It starts with where they're at. You know, whatever they're going through. I was raised in a Christian family and went to church and knew the ways of church and all that, but until God became real to me personally, to Hannah, that's when it made a true impact. You know, that's when I was going through things, and, you know, when like I had mentioned, my father wasn't there, when we saw crisis, you know, in the ministry, things had come up, in the natural, it was like, what are we going to do? You know, a particular instance, I was 16, and a big thing happened at the ministry and financially, and someone wasn't taking care of the finances, and it affected my whole family. And, you know, and seeing people that you looked up to, that they're using their faith, they're using their walk. And as a 16-year-old, I was like, you know, either I'm going to trust God because of me, or, you know, I can do my own thing. But I was like, this has to be real to me. God has to be real to me personally. And that's what I would say to a young person. You're going to have to come to a point where you have a personal encounter with God for anything to become real to you in whatever situation or circumstance that they're going through, you know.
Learning how to apply the truth that they learn about the Word of God and walking with God to their own life Not just watching dad or mom or grandmom or granddad, right. But learning to walk with God for themselves then. So, Okay. And as far as, again, with the work that you do you work quite a bit with young people that come to Prayer Mountain specifically, or do you mostly travel and speak to other young people as a part of your work?
Yes, we were having, we've been so busy with my grandmother traveling with her ministry, and we're having like a prayer meeting once a month for young people. Mm-hmm. I haven't had it yet this year, but I was trying to encourage more people, whether there was one person there or five people there or 20 people, just trying to encourage younger people to be more interested in prayer, and so I was doing that. But I've also been going out more as mm-hmm. well, and speaking and to all groups, but focusedly on the young generation.
Right. Okay, then. Now, do you personally go to college campuses very often, or at least from time to time, to do ministry?
I have not. I have not yet. I have, visited. I have a friend that attends college at ORU, and I've gone there and I haven't spoke or anything, but, mm-hmm. I mean, I walk the campus with her, but not okay. as far as speaking or anything. I haven't done that yet.
Okay, then. Well, maybe that's a door that might be opening as time comes on. One thing that I think is very true, Hannah, is that now more and more God is raising up prayer ministries in many different places, ministries that understand the need for us to both live a life of prayer and teach others how to pray too, because the fact is many believers really don't know a whole lot about prayer, and it's important that be taught and encouraged in the body of Christ. And also, time and time again in the history of the church, it's after God's people really began to pray and intercede faithfully over a period of time that's when they would see revival come to a community or to a land, after God's people have prayed, sometimes over a period of time, really lifting up the concerns of God and praying for revival and renewal in a given community too. So my guess is, as time goes on, you probably will have more opportunities to go and minister in schools and in other places as well, because just obviously we need to minister to our children and youth and young adults, as well as all the adults that are out there in the body of Christ as well. So my guess is you'll be having more and more opportunities as time goes on. So
yes, thank God.
How would you like to ask our listeners to pray for you and the ministry of Prayer Mountain these days?
Just that God's, like you had said just now, that his opportunity, his doors, like we have been talking about, I just see the need mm-hmm. for this generation. There's just so much coming up against, and that just that the Lord's, his doors opening, and what he wants as far as my end and just direction and guidance to mm-hmm. trust him to walk it out as far as for what he has for my life and the desires he's put in my heart. And also the ministry, that the same thing, guidance and direction and things that are happening that are exciting, but just that God's plan is done, and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay then. And is there anything in particular that you'd say that, like, you feel God has very specifically put on your heart for this generation as it relates to the topic of prayer? Any specific truths or insights that you feel like are especially important that God may want you to communicate and share with your generation?
Yes, a scripture that's real to me, I love all scripture mm-hmm. in the Bible, but is Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I like to amplify it just more intimately, mm-hmm. and I just believe that intimacy with God and knowing him and personal, making God personal to you is everything in prayer, everything. So I just believe if we don't have that, knowing God and loving him and knowing him intimately, spending time with him,
mm-hmm.
for me, that's everything.
Right.
That's what will keep you and everything is happening crazy,
Right. I appreciate you sharing that specifically, Hannah. as believers, two very important spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits, whichever word you prefer to use, both that are very important as a part of our walk with God, of course, is, as you just alluded to, spending time reading and meditating on the Word daily and spending time in prayer. And both are very important to every believer. And sometimes a person asks, well, what's more important, Bible study or praying? Well, that's kind of like asking what's more important in breathing, inhaling or exhaling. Both are important. You need both. You don't want to neglect one or the other. You want to do both. And typically, we can do both. Now, there are some cultures where many times believers, they don't have Bibles. Well, again, of course, they should hang on to whatever word they have in their mind and their heart. But again, pray and pray faithfully. But again, in our culture, most everyone has Bibles. Most people do, so we should get great use out of the Word of God, reading it daily, and great use out of our prayer life as well, too, then. So, Hannah, our time is almost gone. I'm going to ask if you'll pray just one more prayer, whatever's on your heart to pray for our listeners about. Would you take time to pray for them and pray at this time?
Okay, yes, definitely. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity for being on this program, and I thank you, Father, for every person that's listening, God. I just ask right now again, as I just that personal, intimate way that you are, God, how real you are, Lord. You know what they're going through. You know the situation. You know the circumstance. Father, I just ask, Lord, for a miracle in their life, whichever that may be, Father, to be so real to them. And I just thank you for strengthening them with your goodness, God, that they'll see you in a new light.
Thank you,
Lord. If there's anything that maybe has hindered them from walking in this fullness of who you are, God, that it'll be removed and that they'll see the true light.
Yes,
that that light will be so bright in their life, God. And your love will encompass them right now, wherever they are.
Thank you, Lord,
surrounds them right now. And I thank you for it, God. And I thank you, Father, that they'll be so hungry for you, hungry to know you, Lord, like never before. And to know you on that intimate level. And we thank you, Father, and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Hannah, would you share one more time the website if someone wants to be in touch with you or the Ministry of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks? How would they, what website would you give them?
Yes, Billy Brim Ministries, that would be for Prayer Mountain, Billy Brim, BilleyBrim.org. And for me, it's Hannah's Prayers, all lowercase, Hannah, HANNAH, Prayers, PRAYERS.com. And there's a place that you can connect.
All right. Okay. Hannah, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast today.
Thank you. It was an honor.
Okay. Thanks again, Hannah. We appreciate that. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.